So this is my Christmas sweater. Oh, chemistry. The groans. I know some of you were upset we didn't have the ugly Christmas sweater contest, but last year, for the second year in a row, someone won who hadn't actually entered, and we just felt bad. I'm kidding. Anyway, good morning. Hey, we're going over the Christmas story, and you know, it's one of those things. I think Christmas, on the one hand, it can be this great season, this great time of year, but I think a lot of times too, you can kind of just fall into the rut, right? Like you're shopping, you're getting presents, you're doing all that kind of stuff, and you know, I work on a Christmas tree farm, so it's like I'm cutting trees, and you know, I'm not really thinking much about my Christmas tree. I'm just thinking I need to cut another one. You know, some of you remember the time to make the donuts. I'm like, time to cut the trees. But you go through all these things, and it's easy to really miss out on what the meaning of Christmas is. So every Christmas, we like to kind of to take a step back and look at the Christmas story. Look at it, and fortunately, because you know, I slightly have an affinity for the book of Luke, if you know me. I try to work the gospel according to Luke into just about every sermon. It's not that I try, just it's really good stuff. And so fortunately, we're hanging out in Luke today because, well, that's where things are. So the verses are going to pop up here in Luke chapter 1. I'm not used to being able to see the screen. That's nice. Right here. But in Luke chapter 1, you can follow along in YouVersion if you want. That's the Bible app, or you can follow on the screens here. Now we're just going to jump right into it. And chapter 1, verse 26 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a village in Galilee to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And last week we talked about Elizabeth. She was old lady, didn't have a baby. And remember, God shows up it says, you know, Zechariah is there serving at the temple, and he's like, hey, you know, the angel shows up and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. And Zechariah is like, what? Like, how, you know, what? And so there's this, you know, he gets sort of rebuked, and he's silent. Elizabeth's happy, and then he comes home. She gets pregnant in the ordinary way, and then God sends Gabriel, the angel, again to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, Nazareth, most of you have probably heard of Nazareth, right? If you've heard of this, some of you are thinking, like, Pennsylvania, that's a whole nother Nazareth, but named after it. But if you've grown up in our culture, if you've heard the Christmas story, you've heard of the town Nazareth, you could go there today. It's kind of a bigger place. It's really, in that day, it was so insignificant. There was nothing outside of scripture here. There's nothing written about it until about 221 AD. It was like this tiny little podunk place. And so there's just a couple hundred people. I always think of, you know, this is the kind of town that would not have had a Wikipedia article even on it. It's that kind of a small town. I think of, and I'm not making fun of the town because I know we have some people who are actually from there. I think of Viola. Oh, don't be against it. Don't be anti. The violins are very nice people. Violins. I don't know. I've been to their post office once, I think. But you know, it's. Do they have a post office? They do, right? Yeah. I remember I tried to go that one, the Woodside one, too. But you know, most people know where Woodside is, but if you're from here, you may not even know where Viola is, right? You're like, I know it's some sort of area down 13. It's kind of, and I'm not knocking them, but it's not really a place of big significance. I mean, when people move here, there'll be a lot of people with the Air Force and different things, you know, people come to town for a job. We're not like, oh, you got to go check out Viola. You know, it's where you're going to spend all your time. It's this little kind of town out there. You know, you kind of know where it is, but maybe you don't know anyone who's from Viola. And so Nazareth is that. It's this insignificant town. And God shows up, and he shows up to this virgin named Mary, and she's engaged to a man named Joseph. And it's funny because if you read some of the other accounts, you know, it talks about Joseph wanting to divorce her quietly. And you're like, wait a minute, they're engaged, but they need a divorce. Anyone ever kind of go, what is that about? And that's sometimes we miss out on cultural things. They were engaged, but in those days it was called betrothal, and it was sort of this big deal. I mean, it was like a formal contract, and you actually would have had to get a divorce even though you weren't together and married. It was like that. It was that kind of a binding thing. So if you read that and get a little confused, and so they're engaged, and you know, it's this important thing. She's this young girl, and it shows, and Gabriel shows up, and greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Now, I don't know how you picture Mary. Anybody have like a picture in their mind? If you grew up Catholic, you probably do, right? Like, I don't know why she's always wearing blue. I mean, is that some significance? And maybe that's some art thing, or you know, she kind of has a glowing halo and things, and you kind of picture, you know, Mary that way. And I always picture Mary of the grilled cheese sandwich. So you see that one? It was like on eBay a couple of years ago. Someone made like $28,000 selling this image of Mary burned into their grilled cheese sandwich. I'm like, I'm not knocking it, but it's kind of, you know, I'm like, and it was like a 10-year-old sandwich. I'm like, you've kept your toast. I'm thinking, what kind of shape is this toasted cheese sandwich into? And so, it's, $28,000 on eBay for that. Now, here's the thing. If you're from a Catholic tradition, and, you know, sometimes I think you can overemphasize and overglorify Mary. Because, you know, she is, you know, Jesus's mom. Spoiler alert, we're getting to that part. But you know, we can kind of overdo it. But, you know, and I think of the Protestants, though, we sometimes, you know, so we're in that Protestant tradition. Sometimes we throw out the baby with the bathwater, or in this case, the baby mama with the bathwater. because we kind of forget that, you know, this is like a virtuous, great woman. And you know, it's been funny. Being in this new building has been interesting for us because there's like quirks and things to being in a building that's, you know, older than any of us. And you know, we were actually moving something the other night. We had a work group in here doing some things. We moved this cabinet, and you know, when we moved the cabinet, there's like a different color carpet underneath the cabinet. So now it's like the room is like one color of carpet, and it's this, you got to go see it. I got a picture. If you ask me, I'll send it to you. Maybe I'll post in the Facebook group later. It's like this striped tribal weird pattern from like maybe 1960. I don't know if you, I'm thinking 60s. You know, someone said tribal. I was like, yeah, the Village People tribe. I mean, it's sort of this crazy car. But when you pull back things, sometimes you see some things. And Mary, you know, it's like, you know, God could look at Mary and he saw, you know, when he pulled something back, it was good. Because we hide stuff. You know, we hide the ugly carpet with a cabinet. We hide things. But, you know, when God kind of reveals who she is, when God opens up, he sees her as she is. And she's this virtuous young woman. But really, she's nothing special. She's from this little hick town. And she's, and you know, we kind of picture this like 40-year-old woman, like when we see pictures of, Mary with child, isn't that kind of what we picture, you know? It's like this, I looked at artwork this week, and I actually like art. I did well in art in college. Music, not so much. I nearly failed. Like, it was like first course, I almost failed. It was, I think they pity, you know, past me, but that's why I don't lead worship. But I like art. But in art, they always picture like this 40-year-old woman, right? But she was really, think more, teenage girl, like 13, 12, 13, 14 years old. So look at a teenager next to you and think, that could be the mother of God. you know, it's really sort of like, you're like, what? You're picking this junior high girl? That, you know, I'm not sure I trust them with a cell phone. We don't trust them to drive, and yet she's going to be trusted with Jesus. They did lose him at one point, but that's a whole other story. But now you're like, oh, that makes sense. It was the junior higher lost their kid. But you know, her response really shows that what Mary is inside is this good, virtuous person. It says, confused and disturbed, You know, because when you see an angel, you know, we kind of, you know, we picture touched by an angel, all that stuff. Kind of, it's kind of this confusing, like God, you know, sends an angel, it shows up, it's a little confusing to her. And it says, confusing to Sir, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. And the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. You know, it would have made sense, because if you're not a parent, I think parents will understand this. You really, when you're thinking about your child, you want the best for them, right? Like, you know, I try to help my kids not make some of the mistakes I made. And, we're not exactly rolling in the dough. But you try to provide for your kids, you know, what they need. My kids eat like 3 times a day at least. So we try to let them eat. You know, it's good practice. You know. But, it would have made sense to send Jesus to a rich, powerful family, right? You know, he's this, you know, maybe some heir to the throne, maybe like a place with nice schools, you know, because when you shop for a house now, you're like, what's the school system like? You're thinking about those things. But, you know, maybe in a palace. But God chooses not any of those things, but God chooses Mary in this little hick town. And it's really this unexpected thing. This is Viola. This is Hartley. This is Lipsick, Kenton, Odessa. I'm just going to make everyone from small towns hate me. And God chooses a middle school girl. He chooses this young woman, this young girl in middle school, who we see they didn't have a lot of money, because later there's a sacrifice. There's always a sacrifice after the birth. And the sacrifice she gives shows that they didn't have a lot of money. And you know, we hear, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. I always like that, because I always picture him like big rough hands. You know, we kind of picture Jesus as like this sort of like effeminate guy with a sheep on him. You know, I don't know why he's always carrying a sheep, because I guess because of the lost sheep, you know, thing. But, you know, but Jesus would have been like a tough guy, I think. Because, I mean, he was, now it's interesting, because the word carpenter can also mean stonemason. I've had a conversation with a couple people this week, actually, about that. And the fact that Jesus would have been like a stonemason. So I picture him having like rough hands, you know, like, which I like, because my hands are rough, because I never wear gloves. I can actually sand drywall just with my hand. So that's... You know, that's what I'm picturing, you know. And so, you know, he goes, you know, he's not absolutely destitute, but he doesn't go to a rich palace. He doesn't go to a place that had wealth, but God sends Jesus to this poor teen mom, in this small hick town, and his name will be called, he'll be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High. Lord God will... give him the throne of his ancestor. And really, this is, you know, I think sometimes you can read the New Testament, and it feels like it's like a shift. And a lot of people have said, oh, well, the God of the Old Testament, they're mean and capricious, and they do all this stuff. And then they kind of like, well, the God of the New Testament was like a bipolar God, like, because it's like completely different. But really, it's the same. And a lot of times we miss things because we don't understand the Bible in its context. We don't understand what's going on. But this whole thing, the whole Christmas story, is the story from the beginning of Genesis. And, you know, the book of Genesis tells us that God created us, and God created us in this perfect world, but we chose sin. You may have heard of the story, Adam and Eve. There's this, like, we always picture an apple tree. It says a fruit of a tree. It doesn't say apple, which is great for those of us who like Apple computers, because but mankind, humankind, chooses sin. And there's this brokenness. And from the very beginning, God begins to unfold his plan and reveal his plan. And from Genesis through Revelation, it's this picture of God coming first to save us from our sin. You know there's that there is judgment when we sin, but God all along is showing this plan to redeem, this plan to come. And Christmas is when we celebrate the kind of, not the end of that plan, but the coming of that whole plan together. And that's, we celebrate celebrate Jesus because he's the one who comes to take away the sin of the world. He comes so that we can have a relationship with God. He comes that we so we can restore and renew that relationship. And it says, he's going to be the Son of the Most High. Now, this obviously gets misunderstood because, we think of like not like our sons, not created, but the scripture revealed that God, he was with God in the beginning. So even though Jesus comes to earth in this little baby package, he's existed from the beginning. It says all through things were made through him in John chapter 1 as well. It says in Hebrews 1, he's the exact representation of God. Someone posted my example of the Trinity, and someone didn't like it online. I saw we were talking about what the Trinity is, because it's hard to understand this concept if we're honest. Like, do you really understand the Trinity, anyone? Okay, good, because if you said yes, I'd think you're a liar, because it's hard to understand. I mean, I know it to be true, but there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I use the example, I guess I didn't finish that story, of it's like, three-in-one shampoo, body wash, and conditioner, and someone thought that was not a good example, but it's great, because they're three separate things. They have separate functions. They do stuff, but there's still this unity. There's this oneness to them. And so Jesus exists before time, and yet, he's like us from the womb to the tomb. I've been waiting all week to use that. I should have gotten an amen for this, from the womb to the tomb. Man, thought of that one early this week. I've been waiting. I got nothing. but he doesn't give up his nature of being God, but he adds this humanity to it. And so then in the story, we read, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. They knew how things worked. They had farm animals. That's a reasonable... I'm just saying, when you grow up on the farm, it's this reasonable question. But it's interesting because it's a very different, it's a very different response than Zechariah, right? Remember Zechariah? He's like, what? How's this going to happen? And there's obviously some doubt because of the way Gabriel acts. So with this one, it's more this, hey, I know how these things work. I haven't done that, so I can't have the baby. What's going on? And so it says in chapter 1, verse 35, says, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. And really, you might catch it, you might not, but it's really this imagery, the Holy Spirit hovering over you. Anyone remember Genesis chapter 1? And it's some of the same Greek words are used there that are used for the Greek translation of the scriptures. And it's this image of the Holy Spirit hovering over and creating. And, it's really this whole plan. When you first read the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, you may not fully get the plan of God. But the more you study it, and the more you realize that God all along has been planning. God all along has been doing. And so this is sort of like, I always think of it like, I like movies. Anyone like movies? It's okay. This church, you're allowed to watch movies. I say it in some churches, then come on down. We're going to pray for you. But, I like movies. And I like a good movie that you really don't know what's going on, right? Like, because you're thinking, oh, it's this guy did it. That guy did it. And then at the end, you're like, oh my gosh, did not expect that she was the guy. She wasn't a guy. But that was the person who did it. You know what I mean? Like that kind of movie. But then you look back and you're like, oh, I should have seen it. They were the only other person there at this. They were the only person. And that's the kind of story the Bible is. At the end, when we look at it, we go like, ah, lights on. Of course, that's what God was doing. That's what God was doing to bring Jesus. And at Christmas, we celebrate that the end of this mystery novel novel is revealed. Now, we still have to go through his life, and then we eventually go into his death and his resurrection to get the full picture. But this is the beginning of the end, and it's spoiler alert, we've talked about the end of things, and we'll continue to talk about that. But, it's this plan revealed, and ultimately, it says the Holy Spirit replied, the Holy Spirit overshadow you. Mary responds, here's Mary's response in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I am the Lord's servant. I was actually going to wear a different t-shirt this week. I love excuses to wear t-shirts. I feel like I have to dress up and, wear a shirt that buttons with my best jeans. I guess I should get torn up ones, then they'd be holy. I wanted to be a Christian comedian. That didn't work out, so you got me. I'll be here all week, folks. I have this shirt, and it's the... maybe you've seen me wear it. It's like the Google like map point marker, and it says, I am here. Get it? Because I am here. I remember when I started wearing that before like everyone had smartphones, and like 1 in 10 people got it. Now most people get it. They're like, oh, I get it. You're here. Yeah, that's where I am. but I love that, because that's kind of what I picture Mary saying. When the angel shows up, she's like, I'm here. I'm the Lord's servant. I'll do whatever it is you want. And so, Mary had plans. She probably had wedding plans. She's in this one-year betrothal period where she's waiting, and they're from this small town. I kind of picture Wyoming, even not to knock Wyoming, but you're from a small town. You picture having kids, raising a family, doing all this stuff. Kind of living this simple life that she was looking forward to. It maybe she wanted to get out of the house, but really you have to think about it when she tells this story. You see, we're 2,000 years away from this now. When she tells this story, what do people say? Mary, that's not how that works. So the Holy Spirit gave you a baby. Okay. I'll use that line too. right. And you're just this nobody from Nazareth. You're the Messiah's mom? Yeah, right. And really, they think she was a liar. She was thinking of crazy. And they called her a whore. It's interesting. The religious leaders at some point when Jesus has conflict with them, they say to him, in John 8, well, at least we know who our dad is. Stories stick around in a small town. Some of you are from small towns, you know what I mean. Stuff you did in the eighth grade, they'll never forget. despite all the consequences, despite all the realities of the negative side, and the negative things that happened, Mary said, I am here. This Christmas season, we have to remember that, our hope is that his plans are greater than ours. Even when it seems tough, hard, illogical, God leads and guides and watches over. God asked Mary to do something big. And likely she was excited some days, but likely she was scared too. Likely confused, a lot like us. And in the Christmas season, we remember that God uses real, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God uses Mary. She's insignificant. But her heart is in the right place, and she has the right perspective on God and life. And ultimately, God can use any of us when our heart's in the right place, our perspective is in the right place. People are funny. We tend to either be too humble or too proud. And humble is, doesn't mean you think that you're nothing. But it's not that you think less of yourself, but you think of yourself less. But, some people, they tend to think, I'm not worth anything, I'm not good, I can't be used. Other people think, I am God's gift to this planet. If you think you're God's gift to this planet, you are, but only in Jesus, because you're pretty messed up outside of that. but really we tend to go one way or the other. We tend to be one of the, but you know, Mary is as lowly as they come. She's as insignificant as they come, and yet God gives her great honor when he chooses her. You know, and that's really, that's part of the gospel, is that Jesus uses and does things, in ways that people don't understand. The disciples, you know, they're fighting. If you remember, like, the thing I like about the disciples is they're a little messed up, like, because I'm a little messed up. So they're always fighting and arguing, kind of seeing who's greatest. And they're trying to. There's this story, and maybe you've heard it. And they're trying to keep the kids away from Jesus because they're like, you know, Jesus is too important for kids. You know, we like in our society, we love our kids. We like post way too many pictures on Facebook or Instagram or whatever our social media of choice is about our kids. We go get photo shots with babies, and they're cute. I'm not saying you can't do that, but you know, in those days, you know, it was like they weren't really kind of thought as that that kind of an important thing. And you know, they're fighting, and you know, Jesus, you know, in the midst of his disciples pushing away, he says, you know, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Because there's this humility, you know, but God uses the humble. He uses those who humble themselves, and he uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Here's Mary, junior high girl, mother of God. You know, this Christmas season, remember, God cares about his people. You know, he didn't stay aloof. God doesn't stay far off. We celebrate the fact that the king came down. That God came, he lives among us. And I pray that our joy and anticipation for Christmas will last, not just this season, but the rest of the season. You know, and I pray that you'll anticipate not just presence, which I like, but his presence in our lives this season and throughout.